Good evening. Welcome to today's virtual meeting. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm joining you today from the homelands of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples. We're grateful for their stewardship of these lands. My name is Nithya Iyer. I'm one of the commissioners and chair of the Electoral Boundaries Commission. I'm also a BC Supreme Court judge. Please allow me to introduce to you my fellow commissioners, Linda Tynan, Commissioner and Local Government Advisor, and Anton Bogman, Commissioner and Chief Electoral Officer of British Columbia. Let me tell you about who we are and what we do. We're an independent and nonpartisan commission that's created by the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. The Act requires commissions like ours to review electoral districts after every second provincial general election. Our job is to review the area, boundaries, and names of existing electoral districts and to make recommendations for change. The way we do that is by first asking BC residents for their views on this topic. That's the purpose of today's meeting. After this first round of public consultations, we'll publish a preliminary report with our initial recommendations. We hope to do that by early fall of this year. We will then have a second round of public meetings asking for your input on the changes we've proposed. Following that, we'll write our final report and recommendations. It will also be public, and it has to be submitted to the legislature in April 2023. Ultimately, it's the BC Legislative Assembly that decides whether to accept all, some, or none of our recommendations. Now, what are the factors that we consider in making recommendations? The Electoral Boundaries Commission Act establishes that our governing principle is representation by population. The Act says that in order to achieve representation by population, we must consider geographic factors such as accessibility and size of electoral districts, demographic factors such as population numbers, rate of growth, and communities of interest, and means of communication and transportation across electoral districts. We must try to ensure that each electoral district is within 25% of the population average of an electoral district, but the Act permits us to exceed this range if we consider it is necessary to achieve effective representation. Right now, the average number of people in each electoral district is about 57,000. There are currently 87 electoral districts in BC, and the Act allows us to propose up to 6 additional electoral districts for a maximum total of 93. At this time, all meeting participants have been muted. If you did not register in advance, but would like to provide input at today's meeting, you can do that by clicking the raise hand button on your Zoom toolbar. This will signal the commission staff to add your name to the list of presenters for today's meeting. I will call each presenter by name. When your name is called, the meeting host will invite you to become a panelist, at which point you can unmute yourself, turn your camera on, unless you prefer not to, and begin your presentation. Presentations at these public hearings are recorded, and the audio files will be available on our website at www.bcebc.ca. Sorry, I messed that up. www.bcebc.ca. Your name and community will be listed with the recording. You can also review our privacy policy on the website. In the interest of consistency across all the meetings we're having, we ask presenters to speak for no more than 10 minutes. And if you're getting near the end of that 10 minutes, I will intervene just to remind you to be wrapping up. I also wanted to let you know that you can ask a question at any time during the meeting using the Q&A button on the Zoom toolbar. When we've heard from all presenters, we'll answer any questions from other meeting participants. After answering any questions, I'll close the meeting. I do encourage you to submit a copy of your presentation to the Commission website. While we take notes during the meetings, it's really, really helpful to us to have an electronic copy for our later reference. The Commission is accepting public input and submissions to inform its preliminary report until 4:30 p.m. on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. So if you know anybody else who may be interested in participating, please pass on the information about our website, www.bcebc.ca, and encourage them to have a look at it. I will now begin calling presenters. Please ensure that your microphone is unmuted before you begin your presentation. Our first presenter is Renee Merrifield.
I hope that I can be heard now. Perfect. I'll start off by just saying thank you to each of you who are giving of your time and coming around BC, but also allowing us to do this virtually. I really appreciate the consideration and the accommodation. I do want to just start off by acknowledging that I live, work, and play on the lands that the Tsuut'ina Nation has stewarded for generations and millennia. So I just want to acknowledge that. I want to start off my presentation by echoing what the commissioner had started with by saying that this is a balance between effective representation on population, but also accessibility. And that's really important that the electoral boundaries are maintained and maintain this balance between effective representation and population growth. As most of you will know, our Okanagan Valley has experienced tremendous growth over the course of the last 5 years and in an increase of almost 14% from 195,000 to 222,000. And as you can see by the population statistics in each of our ridings, we are in excess of what the average would be if distributed equally. So we do feel, and I feel, that we are in need of another riding here in the Okanagan Valley. The other aspect, though, that I do want to point out is just that accessibility portion. Currently, there are many parts of our valley that are not served by transit at this time. I'll draw attention to the area of Big White. Big White's accessibility and connectivity is quite difficult outside of car transportation. So having it reside within the boundary Similkameen area doesn't make as much sense as it would be within one of the Kelowna ridings. As well, the service area that's used by Big White is also the Kelowna area, almost exclusively, if not predominantly. So I do want to just draw attention to that aspect as well. So I'll just continue by saying that we believe, and I believe, that we need a new Kelowna Center riding that should be encompassed, that should encompass the downtown Kelowna area, as well as the Dilworth and Glenmore neighborhoods. And why? Well, these are the areas that are slated. We have a brand new official community plan in the city of Kelowna, and these are the areas slated for the dominant growth over the course of the next 10 to 15 years. There's actually almost 65% of the growth of all of Kelowna that will be allocated to the central area. That will allow more accessibility and greater transit opportunities, and hopefully contribute to housing affordability. So while we're very supportive, and I'm very supportive of the official community plan, it's also going to put tremendous pressure on the other ridings. That this area coming into a riding of its own, I think, makes perfect sense. And it is very geographically distinct from West Kelowna, and that was one of the points that was raised in the introduction as well. You know, we're talking about towers and a very dense urban center, and that's very different than what we would see or experience on the west side of the lake. So definitely feel like this area would be more geographically suited and would have greater accessibility for an MLA that would reside in that current area. We also have kept, or I believe that the Kelowna Mission Riding, as it's currently known, should be kept fairly intact in terms of its area or its boundaries. There isn't very much growth projected for this particular area, so taking out some of the growth and allocating it into a fourth riding, there aren't many boundary reallocations that would be necessary for the Kelowna Mission. Whereas for both Kelowna Lake Country and West Kelowna, those two ridings would be more impacted by growth, and as such could start out at a lower number and then be allowed to grow over the course of the next 8 years. There's also some cultural ties that we really see as strongly, that the downtown core is very culturally different, perhaps, than maybe some of the rural areas that you would find in Kelowna Mission and in the Kelowna East side, which is also in the Kelowna Mission. North Okanagan is also growing. So as I looked at, you know, could we potentially, you know, push one or reallocate some of those boundaries, the North Okanagan is growing as well. And if I look at just the Vernon riding, that one has already growth, and I'm sure you're going to hear from the MLA on that particular riding as well. But it's already over capacity and has experienced double digit growth according to the census period. So an additional seat in the Okanagan would help to relieve some of this overpopulation as well, and just also include more effective representation in the growing population and the effective representation that's necessary in Victoria. In the South Okanagan and Penticton, in taking a look there, there weren't a lot of reallocations in those boundaries. They haven't experienced as much of the growth. The South Okanagan did see a 9.3% growth, but as it was, it looks like it could still handle some more. So that probably the existing riding boundaries are probably sufficient. And Penticton, again, I don't see a huge need to change those boundaries, as it does seem to be very effective in how it's being represented and in the access that is being seen. The boundaries of Milkameen, I did already touch on it just slightly. I think it's appropriate currently. It is a large one. There are going to be accessibility issues in terms of transportation and transit. It does encompass a lot of smaller towns and cities that we're going to see. So I don't see it shrinking a whole lot. The only thing I would say is that when I posted on my Facebook page, hey, love to hear from you, you know, what are you feeling or seeing? The overwhelming consensus was Big White was sort of an outlier with respect to where it services its needs, as well as different for where it gets represented. And then transportation was also an echo that I heard in terms of the accessibility for Big White in terms of where it's currently being represented. So again, that would make a ton of sense. I do have a map that shows each of these different boundary allocations, and especially the four that are in the center and how that would work with a Kelowna center. But again, I think it makes perfect sense from a cultural perspective, from a transit perspective, in keeping some of these the same, like or fairly similar, like the Kelowna Mission riding, but really having a fourth riding that would come into the Kelowna area in that downtown / Glenmore core area of growth that we see. It's exciting. I mean, it's something to be celebrated in terms of growth and population increase. but definitely have felt the squeeze. We have some constituents that will have to ride a bus for about an hour and a half to get from Norm's riding over into my riding, which is quite extensive. We just don't have a transit system that's well set up for that access. So having those offices located in the ridings and closer to where population growth is really important. One more plug that I'll make for a Kelowna Center riding to exist is also within very few of those will have dual transportation or will have car transportation. People that are choosing to live in the downtown core, we're seeing less need for cars, less need for transportation, and less need for parking in that downtown core because people just have fewer vehicles. So again, having a greater accessibility to a riding MLA office would be advantageous. Definitely there. We know that rural ridings cover a vast amount of territories and really have unique challenges. I know that some of my farmers, when they have their foreign workers come in, some of their foreign workers will ride their bikes to come and see me, for almost an hour. So it's definitely, even within my riding, you'll see large distances that have to be traversed outside of car transportation. So it's really important that residents living outside of major population centers maintain that reasonable access to elected officials. Absolutely. Again, I'll just iterate that a fourth riding in the Central Okanagan would be great and well warranted. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Linda. We have heard that from others, and I thank you very much for your presentation. I'm next going to call on Peter Beckett.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Okay. My name is Peter Beckett, and for the past number of years, since 2008, when the electoral district of Boundary Similkameen was created, I have been the district electoral officer for Elections BC for the riding. I was also an AARO for Elections Canada for the same piece of BC geography since 2007. And during the past 15 years and 9 provincial and federal elections, I've come to know the communities and the people of Boundary Similkameen quite well. The electoral district, the electoral commission, I should say, that originally created Boundary Similkameen was clearly challenged to find an adequate population base for the provincial electoral district in southern BC. When the last commission expanded the western flank of Boundary Similkameen by adding Princeton, Tulamine, and Eastgate, they improved the numbers issue significantly. However, most of BDS, Boundary Similkameen, still consists of towns no larger than Osoyoos at 5,500, and many small villages like Midway, for example, and rural hamlets like Beaverdell. Many voters live on rural properties in regional districts. And there are 3 First Nations residing within Boundary Similkameen. Despite a diverse geography stretching from Manning Park to Christina Lake and north to Penticton city limits, several factors create a common interest for the communities and rural populations in Boundary Similkameen. the demographic is somewhat older than most of BC. Perhaps as a consequence, voter turnout is usually slightly higher than many other electoral districts in the province. This is despite the fact that voters often have to travel significant distances to get to a voting place. Absentee voting has been a huge asset, solving access issues for many voters who may live in one community but commute several kilometers for work. Many voters in Boundary Similkameen came here to live in small towns or rural areas because they enjoy the lifestyle and recreational opportunities Boundary Similkameen provides them. They share values that respect the environment and wish to maintain the atmosphere that brought them here in the first place. In recent years, floods and wildfires have served to show the true sense of community that resides in the people who live throughout rural BC. My experience is that the people in BDS offer wonderful support to their communities by participating as electoral officials during elections. Rarely have I had a problem in filling positions at the polls until COVID became an issue. My point here is that Boundary Similkameen should be seen as a cohesive electoral district with many common factors to unify it. I would not recommend dismantling it or breaking parts off, with one exception. The previous speaker stole my point. In 2008, Big White was a ski resort offering accommodation in hotels and private chalets to interested skiers. The school on the mountain had fewer than 30 students, kindergarten to grade 7. And I used it as a voting place in 2009 and 2013. 4 years later, when I went back to book it again, the school population had doubled and they had no room. The number of voters who actually live at Big White has increased significantly over the years. Now, the figure that you'll see in the document that I sent through to you is incorrect. I contacted the federal RO to get the accurate figure. There were 281 registered voters who live on Big White as their permanent residence. 155 of them voted federally last fall. Big White has become a bedroom community for the city of Kelowna. Many residents on the mountain commute 40 minutes daily to jobs in Kelowna and the Okanagan Valley. Others work seasonally on the mountain. Many use Rutland, a suburb of Kelowna, as their postal address. The condominiums on the mountain present an affordable option for young families who work in the Kelowna area. The reason the poll at Big White was assigned to Boundary Similkameen is due to its geographic location in the Kootenays and consequently its regional district. There are two reasons why this is now inappropriate. Most importantly, the residents who live permanently on the mountain are more closely aligned with the communities in Kelowna itself. As such, their interests deal with issues such as tourism, work, travel, and access to services in Kelowna. In talking with the voters going to the poll on the mountain last fall, they are uncertain why they are voting for a candidate in a largely rural district to the south of them. The second reason is logistical. Big White voters are as close as 30 minutes by car to Joe Ridge, 40 minutes to Kelowna itself. It's almost an hour from Big White to Beaverdale, the next provincial voting place on Highway 33 in Boundary Similkameen. The area between is largely forested with only a handful of rural properties. Big White voters do not share the same interests as BDS voters in the Highway 33 communities of Beaverdale, Westbridge, and Rock Creek. As such, it would be better served if the big white pole was attached to the same electoral district as Joe Ridge or Rutland. And that's my point, that if you're doing a reallocation of polls to various electoral districts and indeed creating a new electoral district in the Kelowna area, then seriously examine reallocating Big White to that area. Now, it does reduce the size of the number of voters in Boundary Similkameen, but I'm going to suggest to you that during the next 3 years, that will be offset by increase in population in the various communities in Boundary Similkameen. I don't know if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Beckett. No, we don't have any questions at this time. Thank you very much for your presentation. I'm now going to call upon Norm Letnick.
There we go. Interesting process. Thank you. I would first respectfully acknowledge that I live, work, and play on the traditional territory of the Stilix Okanagan people, and I've had a very good relationship with First Nations in my area. I'd also like to thank you. I thank the three of you for and your staff that are supporting you for doing this. A little easier, I imagine, on Zoom than going around to all the communities, but both are very necessary. And again, thank you for stepping forward and volunteering. Of course, Commissioner Anton, this is his job. So thank you as well for taking on that role. And I really appreciate you being able to provide recommendations to the government. As an MLA, I understand also that I will have another opportunity to review and discuss this. So I just wanted to take a few minutes to walk you through what I previously sent you. You should have received a week or so ago a spreadsheet identifying four ridings for the local area and a set of maps for four maps of the four individual ridings plus a consolidated map. And I just wanted to walk you through how we got to that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time supporting whether there should be a new riding in the Central Okanagan, in particular in Kelowna. That'll be up to you. You have to wrestle all kinds of different things tugging at you. Population, of course, is clearly a driving force across the province and in the legislation. And I would say that based on population alone, Kelowna would need another riding, a fourth riding. But, you know, there's also the issue of geography, and you look up north, you have places that I've traveled previously when I was Minister of Agriculture, just huge tracts of land across this province represented by one MLA. And we have to make sure that they are accessible to their constituents. So, again, thank you for doing this work. I wouldn't wish this on myself. It's going to be a very difficult challenge to balance those things out. But knowing that population, of course, is one of the key criteria that you're looking at, I basically said if they're going to do it, then I need to do some maps because I live here. This is my community. I probably knocked on almost every door in the Kelowna area. I've served on city council, and now I've served 13 years as an MLA. So I think I have a little bit of local knowledge that I'd like to share with you. And so what we first did with the spreadsheets is we said, let's look at the population today, allocate some of the population from the Kelowna Mission, from Kelowna West, and from Lake Country, Kelowna Lake Country, and make this downtown riding. And quickly what we found out was with the growth differential going on between the Mission riding and the rest of the area, it quickly got out of hand as far as the workload for our assistants. And really, as an MLA, I could have 50,000 people, I could have 75,000 people, And my workload might increase a little bit from 50 to 75, but my staff's workload increases quite a bit because they do a lot of the work when it comes to people checking on healthcare issues, on ICBC issues, on WorkSafe, you name it. They do a lot of the work. So it's really important to try to come up to some balance in the Central Okanagan. And the geography is, except for the downtown one, which we'll talk about, the geography is more or less the same, a little bit of urban and a lot of rural for all the ridings. What we did instead of starting where we are now and then letting it run is we said in 8 years, when the next Boundary Commission needs to do its work, hopefully 8 years, two election cycles, then, you know, let's get approximately to the same place and then work our way back. So we said, okay, if we're going to be approximately based on growth at around 70, 72,000 constituents in 8 years, and based on the growth rate being different from the mission, which is pretty much about 1.6% a year versus the other parts, which are 3.6% a year, then how do we construct these four ridings that make sense? So what we did is we said, okay, well, let's make the lake back to the boundary it used to be many years ago. And West Kelowna would be West Kelowna. And then from there, the Kelowna Mission, since it's going to be growing slower, let's start it at a bigger number. And in other words, take less of the constituents out of it to fill this new Kelowna Center riding. And then we'll get the Kelowna Lake Country riding to fill in the rest. Now, Kelowna Lake Country riding is the one I've been representing for the last 13 years. And there is a very important role for having two or three, even at some point, MLAs representing cross boundaries. For instance, the current configuration of Kelowna Mission and Kelowna Lake Country is that we represent together the Rutland community. That's worked extremely well, having the local MLAs collaborate and advocate together for the whole city. I do remember prior to getting elected in 2009, when it used to be a different model, there was a little bit of competition amongst the MLAs for their basic areas. And since 2009, with the boundary redistribution at that point, and having the MLAs represent together different parts of the city, which are combined like Rutland, like Glenmore, like the downtown, what we found is we had to collaborate, and it's been great. I have a reputation of collaboration. I did so in my job as Minister of Agriculture for 4 years, and also as the critic for healthcare prior to and during COVID. And that's the task I took to this whole exercise is putting politics aside. How do we come up with four ridings? So if you look at the spreadsheet, and I won't ask you to look at it now, I'm sure you have it, and the maps, you'll basically find that Kelowna Mission, for the most part, stays the same. We've added Big White into, as you heard from the last two speakers and from many other speakers. It makes some sense, and I won't get into that because you've already heard it. So we've added Big White to the Kelowna Mission, or I'm calling it Kelowna South. In my 2 years as the Assistant Deputy Speaker, I've learned all the riding names, and a lot of them are based on geography. Abbotsford West, Abbotsford North, Richmond, you know. So I said, well, if we're going to have new names for the Kelowna area, Kelowna South, Kelowna North / Lake Country, Kelowna Center, and Kelowna West, seems to be consistent with the rest of the province. So Kelowna South, the current Kelowna Mission riding, would include the Big White because that's the geography of it. The downtown area would take over the Glenmore area, as you heard from Renee, and the Dilworth area. And then there's no connectivity between it and McKinley Landing a little further to the north. So that's why McKinley Landing stays in the Kelowna Lake Country or the Kelowna North / Lake Country riding. So that gives you basically how we came up with the four ridings. With just a little tug here and a little nip there, but for the most part, it's very understandable to today's ridings. And I think when people see the signs of the next election, they'll say, yeah, this is a natural fit. So what do we do with that? Well, we issued a press release, asked the public for their input. And for the most part, the consensus was really clear that they liked number one, a new riding for Kelowna, a fourth MLA. I think that was pretty much consensus amongst the community, which again, of course, that up to you to review. And they liked the idea of the four boundaries where they were. But at that point, I didn't have Big White in there. And we heard loud and clear they wanted Big White. So I did a new set of maps and a new spreadsheet and added Big White. And that's what you have in that I sent you. And I would say that my colleagues also put it up on their Facebook sites as I did, and the public really supported what we have. So I think that's about it. I know you don't get to ask questions, and there are a lot of people I'm sure you want to hear from. So I won't take much more time. I just want to say at the end is thank you again for doing the work. It's not going to be easy. We here in Kelowna think it's easier to come up with a fourth riding because the numbers clearly show it, and the growth over the next 8 years is astronomical, 3.6% for the outside of Kelowna South riding and 1.6% in Kelowna South. And we hope that the option that we presented to you ends up being your recommended option because it makes good sense to the local people here. And I want to say have a great day and thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Nathan Edelson.
Hi, thank you for giving me this opportunity to provide my views on how to restore fairness to the electoral boundary system, especially for our growing constituencies. And I'm speaking from Vancouver, but I think it'll be a message similar to that of the Okanagan. It doesn't take a crystal ball to predict that BC's largest cities, but primarily Vancouver and Surrey, will continue to grow rapidly over the next 5 years and beyond. But we also know that this growth is happening in communities across the Lower Mainland, the Fraser Valley, and the Okanagan. Although I recognize that you have a responsibility to ensure that voters from rural and remote constituencies have reasonable representation in the legislature, efforts must be made to ensure voters in urban areas are more fairly represented. This may require increasing the size of the legislature as the population of the province increases and as we gain access to electronic media and other ways that we can ensure that all the elected representatives have a fair opportunity to speak and participate in the legislature. The most important principle, however, is that we must work together to protect representation by population. Using growth projections from BC Statistics and taking into account recent census figures, Vancouver's population will increase by roughly 50,000 over the next 5 years, and Surrey will increase by 65,000. Even adding two districts in Vancouver and two districts in Surrey may not be enough to address both the inequities that exist now with current boundaries and future growth patterns. However, it will be a step in the right direction. We also know that the electoral boundary commissioners in 2008 and 2016 were unable to take into account population growth when drawing up the electoral map. They were subject to legislation that guaranteed that 17 rural and remote ridings be preserved, but placed a cap on the number of overall constituencies. The process this time will be different, giving you the opportunity to begin to rebalance the electoral map to ensure the people who live in BC's two largest cities and other rapidly growing centers are treated more fairly. Urban centers have lost out in the last two rounds of boundary changes. When one combines that inequity with accelerating growth, it is clear that significant action is required to rebalance the electoral map. By adding a minimum of two seats each to Vancouver and Surrey, you could reduce the undervaluing of votes of residents while also anticipating significant population growth that will take place. And finally, I'd like to end by highlighting that most British Columbians live on the unceded lands of First Nations. As part of the process of reconciliation to which the province is committed, I suggest the commission should recommend that this commission or another body meet with First Nation leaders, hereditary and elected, and develop a proposal to formally seek representation of First Peoples in the legislature. This could take the form of several additional seats, or it could be a separate elected and or appointed body that has legal status in proposing or reviewing legislation from the perspective of the people who governed this land for tens of thousands of years. In these challenging times, when the essence of electoral democracy is being seriously challenged in the courts to our south and on the battlefields of Europe and elsewhere, it's all the more important that we retain and increase the confidence residents have in the fairness of our elected governments and the ways in which they are chosen. Your work can serve as a model and perhaps a beacon of hope for others who at this moment are risking imprisonment or death to seek some of the democratic rights you can help guarantee in British Columbia for another generation. Thank you very much for your time and for your careful consideration of these important matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next presenter is Pat Dionne. It appears that Pat Dionne is not presenting. Pat Dionne, if you're there. All right, we'll move on to the next speaker. It's Susan Klochuk. Oh, I see Pat Dionne coming up here.
To unmute. I'm sorry, I'm trying to unmute here. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for hearing me, and thank you for your patience and getting me on here. My name is Pat Dionne. I live in Nakusp, BC, and I'm in one of the Kootenai regions, one of the four ridings for the Kootenais. And we are, unlike the Okanagan, we are in a situation where our population is now somewhat below what is put forward for what is needed to remain to have our four ridings. I have my notes and I'm trying to pick them up here. I think we're about, some of them are 25% less. And so this will be a real challenge for us to remain as, where we are right now with the representation that we have. Although that's what I'd really like to see. I'd like to see, that we can remain with the same representation that we have, because things are changing and we are growing, but not as quickly as the Okanagan is. One of the things that makes us different than other places is we are remote. For me to be where I am right now, we're coming either by a ferry to the west of us, a ferry to the north, or a two-hour drive down to CRMLA's in their offices in Castlegar right now. And I'm just right now, if I want to make contact with anyone, we have to go far enough as it is. So that being said, I understand that you have to make some really tough decisions here, and your job is not easy. And so maybe we can keep our at least our regions together. Here's what I'd like to you to understand, that living in a rural area, we share a lot of our employment, our education system, our highways, our transportation, our need for fuel. We share so many things as a Kootenai, in the Kootenais, that losing representation in the legislature would be pretty devastating for us. I think it would be harmful to the growth of the region, which it is growing, but not as fast as some other places. So here's what I'd like to see. In the East Kootenais, we have a region that could include Radium Hot Springs, Invermere, Canal Flats, and to be added to the East Kootenai communities of Cranbrook, Fernie, Sparwood, and Elkford. So that would keep that area all together. And they share highway systems, they share economies, they share tourism. It's an amazing place to live and to work. For the representation just west of that, Nelson, Creston, and maybe adding Kimberley to that area would be really beneficial to get the population up to where it would be able to be within the limits that you need for keeping the numbers up. And here in the West Kootenais, in the Arrow Lakes, if we could just include Revelstoke and Golden, we share a lot of the same economic, tourism, forestry, all of the needs that are there with that area. So if we could get Revelstoke, Kootenai West, and Golden into the Kootenai West, then we could keep the population that we need to be in line with the mandate for the provincial guidelines. Now, I know I'm not supposed to ask questions or that, but I know it's going to be a real challenge to you. And I'm just hoping that you will be able to see that if we lose our representation now, it's going to be really hard for us in our communities. I was listening to the fellow from Vancouver saying, oh, you know, the populations are growing and we need better representation. If we lose our representation, then it's going to be really hard on this area to get anything done. Right now, I think we're underrepresented. According to the guidelines, I know that we're not. So in closing, I would like to say that I prefer to see no change to what's happening here. But if we do have to go down that road, then the suggestions that I made, including Revelstoke and Golden to the West Kootenais, would be very beneficial for us because we share so many economic ties with them and social ties as well. Thank you. Thank you for hearing me. Good luck in your decision making.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I'm now going to call on Susan Klobuchar. Thank you. I'm presenting today on behalf of the Regional District of East Kootenai in my capacity as Vice Chair, as Chair Rob Gay is away on a much deserved vacation. I'd also like to acknowledge that I'm coming to you from the homelands of the Shuswap Band, homelands and traditional territory of the Chinaha Nation and chosen home of the Métis Nation of BC. At the March 11th meeting of the RDK Board of Directors, the directors unanimously passed the following motion: that Chair Rob Gay be authorized to make a submission to the BC Electoral Boundaries Commission, advising them that the RDK Board believes that the constituents of the RDK are currently adequately served by two MLAs, despite the geographic and local government jurisdictional complexities, and therefore the RDK Board respectfully requests that the boundaries of the two ridings, being Columbia River Revelstoke and Kootenai East, serving the constituents of the Regional District of East Kootenai, not be altered, and that our representation in the BC Provincial Legislature not be reduced. The RDK is seeing unprecedented growth with 10% increase in population since 2016, although some of our communities have seen as much as 73% increase over the 2016 census. And all the increase also puts pressures on the landscape, and that growth means the MLAs that serve our ridings are busier than ever. It is our contention that a population-only formula to determine provincial representation cannot result in fair representation given the complexities and the sheer number of provincially managed and regulated areas, such as MLTI roads. The two ridings combined equate to 2,600 kilometers of Ministry of Transportation infrastructure managed highways and secondary roads. Recreational sites and trails that have seen significantly increased impact, particularly with the onset of COVID and the population of our open spaces. The mining industry, even in my own electoral area district, I have three mines and countless number of gravel and sand pits, which also come under the mining ministry. Agricultural Land Commission and the Agricultural Land, the Ministry of Agriculture, where we are in constant contact with, are public water systems, which are governed under the province. Broadband connectivity. I have a community that is 30 minutes away from where I live, that is in my electoral area, that is still working with dial-up connection. So our connectivity is not what it is, which means that it's even more difficult for our MLAs to really connect with the electorate. Natural disasters, whether it's flood or landslide, wildfires, we face those every year, and our emergency response centers are set up without fail every year, certainly since I've been elected. And that takes a lot of coordination with the MLA offices that we need both their staff and the MLAs to be advocating on behalf of our shared constituents. Our healthcare facilities, along with cross-border health issues, the sheer number of facilities that we have within the regional district just is, compared to an urban riding, certainly adds to the complexity. Public transit, which is severely lacking, although we are looking for advocacy and creative solutions in public transit, we have to be working with our provincial legislators to improve those services. We have four resort municipalities in the Regional District of East Kootenai that collect MRDT and receive RMI funds. We do that work in relationship and in collaboration with MLAs and with their impact, with their input. Our public and post-secondary educations, including daycare, the sheer volume of Crown land and the impact on Crown lands, the referrals that we receive from Forest Lands and Natural Resources, the riparian areas, our water systems, our rivers and our lakes. We have 16 local government jurisdictions within the Regional District of East Kootenay and 4 First Nations communities and over 70 elected officials. To manage those relationships, for 2 MLAs to manage those relationships is challenging, but they managed to do it. And then we have to also look at the many nonprofit organizations providing service for your arts community, social services, environmental protection, search and rescue, hospices, child and family services, and the list of those not-for-profits that require our advocacy and support from our provincial colleagues is critical to the success of our growing communities. Many urban ridings have none or few of these services, or if they do, they're shared amongst other ridings and exist only within only one local government jurisdiction. The ridings within the RDK are clearly complex, and it is at the very least unreasonable to use a population-only based formula to determine fair representation for British Columbians. Our MLAs currently and historically have made themselves and their constituency staff very accessible to the Regional District of East Kootenay staff and both staff and elected officials when dealing with issues impacting our shared constituents. And we do not want to see a reduction in service and collaboration from our provincial colleagues due to an unreasonable and unwarranted increase in their workload. In closing, the RDK Board of Directors respectfully does not support the population-only formula for determining electoral boundaries within the province of British Columbia. And we believe that in order to achieve fair representation for rural ridings within the BC legislature, the BC Electoral Boundaries Commission must develop a formula that takes into consideration the jurisdictional and geographical challenges of BC ridings. So thank you very much for your time and your attention and your commitment to this democratic process.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I'm now going to call on Mike Figurski. Right, appears that Mike is not with us. I'm going to move on to Saroj Sharma.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi, my name is Saroj Sharma. I have lived in this community, Sparwood and Fernie, for 40 plus years. And I'd like to thank you guys for this putting this visuals representation. I live in a small town, Sparwood, and we have 3 small community, Elkford, Sparwood and Fernie, and Canal, of course, it always out of balance because we have a special problems here in our community because we live far out from everybody else. We have housing problem, we have transportation problem, we have health, hospitals problem, shopping problem, and of course the highway because we have weather is always winter time, you can't travel it. So for our seniors, transportation, we have no transportation here. If somebody has to go to Cranbrook Hospital in the midnight, if they're sick and they have to be transported to Cranbrook, there's no way they can go unless they drive or they get ambulance. So transportation becomes a big issue. We have a housing problem in this community. And of course, because being a small riding, we need to have a small town voices here. Cranbrook is a big center. And of course, it has all the amenities which we use it. Their hospitals, their schools, College of Rockies is there. And that what happens most of the time, that having a scan book around us, being a big, a small community, our voice get lost compared to the big cities like Cranbrook, big town, I would say. So I will say for my closing argument, I thank you. I think the commission should consider these changes as they would being better represented to the people of East Kootenays. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I'm now going to call our next presenter, Loyal Woodridge.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Loyal Woodridge. I'm the chairperson of the Regional District of Central Okanagan and also the city councillor for the city of Kelowna. And I'm speaking to you today on the traditional ancestral unceded territory of the Silk Okanagan people. Thank you so much for holding this evening as we consider some boundary adjustments and hopefully mitigate some inequities within the system. Is it possible for me to share my screen? I do have a presentation. I think I can.
I think so.
Oh no, it's host disabled. Okay, can everyone see that today?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so as I noted, I represent the Regional District of the Central Okanagan, which encompasses Lake Country, Ellis and Joe Rich electoral area, the City of Kelowna, West Bank First Nation, Central Okanagan West electoral area, as well as West Kelowna and Peachland. The Central Okanagan's population has risen by 14% between 2016 and 2021, from 195,000 to 222,000. And I'm just going to move on. And we're fully supportive of seeing some boundary adjustments in line with some logical movements. We're suggesting that the West Kelowna proposed boundary basically line the lake. This data is showing us that between 2016 and 2021, the population of this area grew roughly by 13%. Looking at Kelowna Center, where the city of Kelowna, we are forecasting the most amount of growth as we just adopted our new 2040 official community plan. 65% of our growth, we are going to be focusing on urban centers. So you can see here between 2016 and 2021 alone, we saw 21% change in population, and we're forecasting that to be even further over the next 10 years while we build out our OCP. When we look at Kelowna South, the data showed us about a 12% increase in this area, and you'll see that we are proposing to encompass Big White, and there's a reason for that. Our airport, YLW, is forecasting to see, as we recover from COVID, 2.5 million passengers coming through, which continues to be an economic driver for the ski hill. And about 40,000 pass holders encompass the Central Okanagan. A lot of the folks that live up there and vote at Big White continue to use Rutland, as a previous speaker spoke to, for their residential addresses, and continue to use Kelowna as the space that they come for their services. And then when we look to Kelowna South is where it's going to integrate in Big White there. And that saw a 13% increase in that area between 2016 and 2021. And then looking at our Kelowna North into Lake Country, again, that would divide by Highway 33. We're proposing encompassing the areas of Rutland, McKinley Landing, and then up into the Lake Country area. And again, we're seeing about a 12% increase there as well. So when we looked at these maps, we did our best to be equitable in terms of population growth, and noting that if boundaries weren't changed over the next 8 years, that inequities would continue to grow. What I can also share is that as we look to our transportation planning through the Central Okanagan, we're looking at a regional transportation strategy, and that really prioritizes transportation routes using the highway as the main delivery method. So working with our partners at BC Transit and our partner municipalities, electoral areas, First Nations, and unincorporated areas, we're looking to see how we can increase accessibility for folks to be able to move throughout the region in a more equitable way. Also noting that as we densify our areas through the city of Kelowna, really prioritizing active transportation routes so that folks don't need to have two vehicles. We know that if cost of living rises, transportation is one of the major contributors to affordability. So with people having less vehicles, and needing more connectivity to access the representation in Victoria, it's really crucial that we look at adjusting our boundaries so that they make logical sense. Again, looking at that West Kelowna boundary and then proposing that additional area in the central part of Kelowna so that people are best represented in our city. And that is a short and sweet presentation because many folks have already spoken to this evening. But I had our team at the Central Okanagan Economic Development Commission analyze this data for us this evening to show the level of growth. Being the fastest growing urban area in the country, we definitely are advocating for a higher level of representation and some boundary adjustments so that people have a little bit more logical sense in terms of where the representation is coming from, and hope that you will consider that into the future.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
I'm now going to call on Andy Shadrach.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to appear tonight. I have provided you with a written submission, so I will speak to highlights of those. I live on the unceded territory of the Senaikst, the Silex, and the Tanaha at the north end of Kootenay Lake. I want to specifically reference you to sections 92A, 1, 2, 3, 92B and 93A and B. I'm particularly concerned that we not see a reduction in the overall number of seats in the interior. I'm very disturbed by the fact that we have seats like Stikine at 196,000 square kilometers, Peace River North 160,000 square kilometers, Nuchako Lakes at 73,797 and North Coast at 65,972. What disturbs me about this is where the bulk of the First Nations population live. And if we reduce the number of seats, we're basically going to reduce the number of MLAs that can represent First Nations people. In fact, I think it's time that we adopted a policy very similar to New Zealand or Colombia, and created a First Nations seat or seats in this province. It's long overdue if we're serious about reconciliation. Having talked about the interior briefly, I now want to focus on the four seats in the Kootenays, where I know you have a very difficult task. The first thing I want to point out is, yes, Columbia River, Revelstoke has a 35% deviation below norm, but it's the sixth largest seat in the province at 39,000. And the only way you can expand that seat is to push it further into the shoe swap, because that's the only logic. They are stuck, Revelstoke and Golden, in the Columbia Shoe Swap Regional District. There is nowhere else to go, because if you push south, then you go into East Kootenay, and they're already nearly 25% below the norm. And unlike the earlier speaker from the cusp, I beg to differ. The building of the Columbia River Treaty Dam at Keenley Side broke the road and rail ties between Nacusp and Revelstoke. And there is now really no community of interest between Revelstoke and Nacusp anymore, in my opinion. All of Nacusp's interests are south into the Slocan Valley and towards Nelson. And that brings me to the final seat that I want to talk about, which is my priority, which is Nelson Creston. Since 1979, until the last commission change, the Slocan Valley was part of Nelson Creston, areas H, New Denver, Slocan, and Silverton. And added to that was Nacusp and Area K. So if you are going to expand Nelson Creston to bring it closer to the population, then it's logical to put areas H and K and those small municipalities back into Nelson Creston. But then that leaves you with a dilemma as to what to do with the remainder of what is Kootenai West. And again, I think, contrary to what the returning officer said of Boundary Similkameen, you have to reconsider putting the boundary back into a Kootenai riding as it existed prior to the last change. This makes sense from a jurisdictional point of view, because of course, Trail is part of Kootenai Boundary Regional District. There is also some commonality of interest between Castlegar, Trail, and Grand Forks. All three of them have industrial workforces, the pulp mill in Castlegar, the smelter in Trail, and the large mill in Grand Forks. In contrast, there's a commonality of interest between the Slocan Valley and the Cusp and Nelson and even Creston. Retirement communities, tourism, and even some commonality of agriculture. The other thing that you do when you put areas H and K back into Nelson Creston is you put School District Kootenai 8 back into the same jurisdiction together, and you add in District 10. One thing I've heard sometimes mentioned is that you could take the east shore of Kootenai Lake and the Creston Valley and stick it into the Kootenai, the East Kootenai. I don't think that's a good idea, because then you break up School District 8 and you break up the commonality of interest that exists around Kootenai Lake. I don't envy you your task. But I will say I generally agree with the presentation of Susan Kloverchuk from the Regional District East Kootenai. And I want to remind you that 40% of the hydro generated in this province is generated in the Kootenai. And nearly 40% of the mining in this province is done in the Kootenai. So we need appropriate representation. And I want to end by pointing out to you that in terms of Nelson Creston, it may have one of the largest deviations, but there are only 14 seats of the 87 that have a higher turnout of voters than Nelson Creston. And believe it or not, Nelson Creston, even though it has a small population, doesn't have the lowest turnout of voters. Richmond South Centre, Surrey Green Timbers, Surrey Newton, Richmond Centre, Surrey Wally, Burnaby Deer Lake, and Surrey Guildford all have lower turnouts in 2020 than Nelson Creston. And I give you the exact numbers in my presentation. So this cookie cutter approach that you're sometimes being asked to take, in my view, does not always work. And that we need to take into account the commonality of interests that exist in some of these rural communities. And the last thing I'm going to ask is that in future, please, when you make put your stats up, don't just talk about the population differences show the size differences. You have seats in downtown Vancouver that are 2.3 square kilometers. Stikine is 196,000. As someone who served in the regional district of Central Kootenai, representing a quarter of the regional district of Central Kootenai, size matters. The ability of MLAs to represent people across such vast areas is very difficult. And currently, we face federally, I live in a riding called Kootenai, Columbia. It takes 9 hours to drive from one side to the other. And I think it's totally inappropriate for us to continue to expand these rural ridings in the interior of BC. And in fact, I supported the Liberals when they grandfathered the rural seats so that we could have appropriate representation. We need a balance. I don't envy you on your task, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your presentation. Next on my list is Richard Enns.
Hello.
Hello.
I will just, there we go. Hi. I hope I have an easy one for you tonight. I am reporting from Vernon Monashy, and my concerns relate to that constituency. My name is Richard Enns, and I have resided in the district of Coldstream for 30 years. I currently operate a small commercial organic apple orchard in Coldstream. I'm also an elected councillor with the district, and I have been since 2007. I also have a law practice in Vernon, and I've been serving in the North Okanagan for the residents here for 30 years. In setting out to write this presentation, I went to the website for the commission and found some useful search tools and an explanation of the process and details about the members of the commission, but very little about the principles that should guide a submission. There was one critical aspect that stuck out, and it was the language of the one of the pages on the site, which goes as follows: the commission makes recommendations to the legislative assembly to ensure that each electoral district has effective representation, and the commission considers the number of people living in the area, geography, demographics, means of communication, means of transportation, and special circumstances in developing its recommendations. It seemed to me that effective representation is really at the heart of the matter. So how can a representative be most effective? And I think there are three basic considerations. One is ability, one is durability, and the other is what makes sense to voters. The constituency I am in, Vernon Monashy, has on its website, the commission website, a map which does not even include the whole constituency. That is telling, and it does indicate the challenge for a representative to have a foot in the world of an urban center like Greater Vernon and the outlying areas with strong rural characteristics. Coldstream, where I am, is a growing community, and it is sometimes, however, misrepresented in terms of how fast maybe exaggerated. For example, the percentage change has been 4.9% over 5 years, but that is really 500 people. And our neighboring community of Vernon has grown about 4,500 people during that 5 years. But the statistics which show the growth rate seem to emphasize a fairly dramatic change. Now, Vernon and Coldstream and Lavington is a community within the district of Coldstream, comprise a community because they share and co-fund police services, recreational services, a school district, transportation links, sewer services, and arts and culture services. Many residents in Vernon and Coldstream, many residents work in Vernon and live in Coldstream, and in many respects have a seamless community. Probably the three most important aspects currently for our area are transportation, affordable housing, and environmental sustainability. Those three principles require a representative to work in an area where they can make a difference, and they know that the boundaries are not going to change significantly. The concern I have is that because our constituency currently has a fairly high population amount, changes could split Vernon and Coldstream so that they no longer form part of the same constituency. And I think that would be a mistake. I think if a representative is going to be able to represent people in our two communities, there's going to have to be some stability with the boundaries, and it's going to have to make some sense to voters. Those two communities working together, certainly they do have some of their difficult issues to sort out from time to time, but that's inevitable when two municipalities are closely linked. My presentation is to encourage at least the Vernon-Coldstream relationship to be continued as together and represented by one MLA. I'm not entirely sure that losing the eastern part of our riding would be a service to those members either. I think there are strong links between the eastern members of the constituency to Vernon Coldstream. So I guess I am probably interested in having that stability for the residents in our area. And I think that would create the best opportunity for a representative to be familiar with the issues, to operate in the long term. Again, I think that the population growth has been represented as fairly dramatic, but it is still modest or moderate. And it makes sense to the communities that are currently represented in Vernon Monashie. Thank you for the work that you're doing. I know it is difficult, and I appreciate the time that you're going to have to put in to resolve some of these issues. And thanks for the opportunity to make the presentation.
Thank you for your presentation. I have one more speaker, Michael Hunter. Oh, sorry, Michael Humer.
Sorry, it takes a minute to get going. You can hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Michael Humer. I'm in Kelowna, and I'm in the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Siliks First Nation. I've lived in Kelowna for the past 20 years, and really I'm here that I'd like to speak in support of the proposed addition of a fourth riding and the boundaries as proposed by the regional district of the Central Okanagan and the Kelowna MLAs. As you've heard, Kelowna is a rapidly growing area, and I practice as a surgeon, and I'll give you some of the context, and this will also probably speak to some of the other presentations from today, and I've enjoyed all of the presentations. I'm a thoracic surgeon, so our thoracic surgical group actually serves the entire interior and a significant portion of the north. We tell people we serve actually 800,000 square kilometers, the size of the network. So every community that is spoken today is a community that we serve. We've had an extensive virtual network for years. And I would say that, yes, Kelowna has the population and needs a fourth riding, and it's obvious. But also the links that, all the presenters have talked to you about in terms of how there are geographic natural links to communities. Obviously I have the perspective of healthcare, but the healthcare links, how communities function at a healthcare level and feed into each other is obviously very important. So, I really want to thank you for the work you're doing. I think it's fantastic work you're doing. And I think one of the things that's always struck me is I live in Kelowna, a couple blocks from the hospital, as most people know, on the Kelowna side of the lake. My federal riding includes Merritt and Penticton, and West Kelowna, which have significant dramatic differences. So one of the things I've heard today is how important it is that the ridings are represented by areas that have similar interests and similar connections. To me, as a healthcare provider, it's obvious that Coldstream and Vernon are a community that supports each other. The Coldstream patients come to Vernon when they need their CT scans, when they need their investigations. That's their natural connections, as we've heard from other people talking about the natural connections. So I would encourage the panel to explore those natural connections. Then not just how the map works together. And obviously, I've spent my whole career in thoracic surgery wanting to provide care to the rest of the province, out of primarily Kelowna, because of the inequities of the remote patients and the vast areas that they live in. So I'm really happy that you exist as a panel. I think it's fantastic. I've enjoyed all the presentations, and thank you. And again, obviously, first and foremost, to speak on behalf of the fact that our MLAs and the regional district of Central Okanagan has done excellent works to show you the merits of why there should be four ridings in Kelowna. But thank you for your collective work, and I enjoyed all the presentations today.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I don't have any further speakers on my list. If there is somebody who would like to and hasn't already done so, you should press the raise hand button now. All right, I don't see anybody. So let me thank you all for your informative and very helpful presentations today. Is there anybody with questions that we can answer? I don't see any questions either. Well, that's quite efficient. So let me, before closing the meeting, let me remind you that the audio recordings will be available on our website next week. Again, as I said before, if you have more information that you'd like to have us consider, or you know of other people who would like to have some input, please direct them to our website
www.bcebc.ca. And I'm happy to announce that we have a new mapping tool on the website that allows you to draw boundaries, that is to redraw or change the boundaries of existing electoral districts. And what it does, it will show you an estimated population that would take into consideration the changes that you've made. It also allows you, once you've decided what changes you'd like, to submit that through the mapping tool so that we can see how you would draw the boundaries. The new tool can be found under our in our website under the heading Make a Submission. So if you click on Make a Submission, you'll get access to some survey questions and the mapping tool. Once more, thank you all for coming out this evening. Yes, Commissioner Tynan.
I think yes. I see a note maybe in a one presented that was missed.
Sorry, let me just. Yes, Mike Figuerski, you made it in just before the deadline. So, yes, let's hear your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. And I'm sorry if someone's touched on this before, but I just wanted to make a quick point as to services we're paying for in Area E. Do you mind if I share my screen?
Not at all.
Okay, so this is the taxes for 2020 for Area E. We pay a little over $200,000 per year towards the hospitals in Grand Forks and Trail without any services. Normally, this would go to the regional hospitals, and our referral base is all to Kelowna. This money is used with matching IHA and provincial funds to create capital projects for health in the area, and that's why there is no health services in Big White at all. Over the last 5 years, we've sent over $1 million into Regional District Kootenay Boundary West Kootenay Regional Hospital Board without a single dollar being spent back in this community. We don't have an ambulance. We don't have any services. And I think if we were in Kelowna, where the residents and guests up here have a much tighter economic tie, we'd be more likely to get services, capital health services established in the area. That's all I had.
Thank you very much. All right, with that, having mentioned that you can go on our website and check out the survey and mapping tool there, and of course, make a submission by way of email as well. Thank you very much for participating this evening. It's been very helpful, as have all of our meetings to date. This is indeed a number of you have talked about how challenging this is. It is challenging, but it's also a real privilege for all of us to be able to participate and to hear your views in this way. Thank you, and this meeting is now closed.